Why be satisfied when you can feel ecstatic? Hi there, it's Janet Collieri of Sight for Sound Life Coaching. You know, when we see things as they truly are, we make sound choices in life. So how about starting now? Invest in yourself. Invest in your potential through my very fun 21 Days to Yes program. 21 Days to Yes, where your life is the workshop. It's only 21 days away. So call me now at 323-252-0963. 323-252-0963. It's Janet Collieri, and I believe in your potential and that you deserve to feel ecstatic. Hello, world, and welcome to my show. Thank you for being here. I am your host and life coach, Janet Collieri of Sight for Sound Life Coaching. Sight for Sound. When we see things as they truly are, we make sound choices in life. And it's a beautiful day in Los Angeles. Happy July 1st, especially to those up in Canada. I have a wonderful special guest today, Michael Brown. I'll bring him on in a few minutes. And we encourage you to call in and ask questions or share your thoughts. Even if we're in the middle of a conversation, feel free to call in. All the lines are open, and here's a few numbers for you. 877-876-5227. And for Canada, it's 888-159-7-56 or local number 530-876-3222, and you can call into the other lines prompted on the website bbsradio.com/sight4sound. So I am a life coach and many other things. My purpose is igniting human potential. So I have this radio show as one of my vehicles to ignite your potential. And that is my promise, and that is my intention. So please call in and ask some questions, or feel free to share some thoughts. So what is coaching? Coaching is results-based and forward-moving process. It's a fun, objective, non-judgmental process in which I ask you questions. Can you derive the answers on your own? And that way, you own your answers. You own who you are. You own what you come up with. You claim it. And from that place, it's internalized in your mind, in your body, in your spirit. And from that, you feel a sense of freedom and confidence and productivity and compassion and health and all sorts of great results. So that is what coaching is. Find out more about me on www.sightforsound.com, and you can also reach me at 323-252-0963. The foundation from which I teach is ownership. And my definition of ownership is when I no longer allow gravity to dominate my spirit. When I no longer allow gravity to dominate my spirit. Gravity, I use that word. There's a heaviness there. There's an outside source there. So when I no longer allow the outside sources to dominate my spirit, that is ownership. And the umbrella in which I teach under is purpose, life purpose. I think we all have a purpose. We all have a unique gift and contribution to give to the world and to ourselves. And purpose for me is experiential. Coaching is a vehicle in which I contribute my purpose. Working with the youth is a vehicle in which I contribute my purpose. So everybody has a purpose, And if you're not sure about yours or you're questioning it, give me a call. Find out more. It's a wonderful life when we live on purpose. There's lots of juice. There's lots of joy. There's lots of laughter. There's lots of love. And less illnesses. Less illnesses, better health. And what a world. What a world that would be. Well, today I have a very special guest, and his name is Michael Brown. He is a published author of The Presence Process and has a newly released book called The Alchemy of the Heart. And he says the causal point of the things that occur in our everyday experience is not outside of us in the actions of others, but within each of us. And I think that is a great description of ownership. Michael is currently doing teachings all over the USA and is published by Namaste Publishing. And with his own interesting personal story, his brightness, his humor, it's no wonder he is catching on like wildfire, helping many people. Alchemy of the Heart is quite an interesting book, and I'm really looking forward to my conversation with Michael Brown. And Michael Brown, are you there?
I am here. Hello, Janet. How are you?
I am very well. Very well. Thank you for being here. How are you?
I'm doing excellently, thank you.
Great. Well, welcome to my show. Thank you for taking the time to be here. I know you're doing a lot of traveling.
It's okay. And, I'm actually beginning a little period of rest now, so I'm very close to my couch, so that's a great thing.
Oh, good. Good, good, good. A break is always good. So I was looking at your book, The Alchemy of the Heart, and looking up the definition of alchemy. It seems that it's transmutation or some kind of change in nature, form, or quality. So in your book, Michael, Alchemy of the Heart, what is the precise change that that you're speaking about?
Well, it's the change, the precise change is moving from a life of unconscious reaction into a life of conscious response.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty much the change, and that transforms, the world ceases to be something happening to me, it now shows itself to be something happening through me. And so there's all many dimensions of change just from moving from, we go from victim and victim mentality into vehicle mentality. So there's many ways, but it really is about alchemy is what enables us to realize that our experience as it's unfolding is absolutely valid. When we're in a reactive state, the reactivity is born out of a very powerful belief system and experience that is saying to us, your experience isn't valid, it should be another way. And so a reaction is when I am continually resisting my experience and manipulating it to be another way than it is. Alchemy is when I perceive my experience to be the gift given to me through which I may see deeper into myself, into what God is for me, into where I am, and I see more deeply into it by responding to it, by embracing it, not interfering with it, but by embracing it and getting the juice out of it.
Wonderful. The embracement. When we embrace, we take ownership rather than live in the victim mindset.
Right, and, right. Well, that's exactly what it is. It's moving beyond the victim-victor mindset.
The victim-victor, I like that. So you say that this work is not about feeling better. It's about getting better at feeling. It's not only about just feeling good. getting the capacity to feel everything. That sounds scary to most people.
Well, yeah, because anyone who comes to work that is going to bring us into greater consciousness, anyone who comes to that work usually comes to it because they want to feel better. So we all enter awakening of any level or consciousness or responsiveness through our discomfort. It's very unlikely that a person enters this work because they're absolutely comfortable with their life. So initially, it's absolutely natural that I enter this kind of approach to my life out of a sense of wanting to feel better or wanting to change what's going on. And through that approach, if that approach takes me deep enough into my experience, it'll show me the causal point of my discomfort. And then when I take responsibility for that, that's going to change my whole way of approaching my life. So first of all, we come in trying to feel better, but then when we realize that the causal point of our experience is what's going on in the emotional body, and then we start to realize, no, it's not that I need to feel better. What's making me so uncomfortable is that I'm sedating and controlling my emotional body and manipulating it into feeling it a way other than what I'm feeling at the moment. And actually what I require is to awaken my emotional capacity, is to move through my emotional blockages. And the only way I can accomplish that really is by allowing myself to feel them and through my, so that they can move through my awareness in that way. Then my emphasis becomes on awakening my feeling capacity, not on just trying to feel better.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying that the feelings are different from the emotions?
Well, no, that's not what I'm saying. Feeling is a capacity to comprehend emotion. That, you know, we all have different vocabulary, so it's just about, you know, how we use our vocabulary, because there's no one true vocabulary. We all have different vocabularies to explain our experience. In my experience, feeling is a capacity. What I feel, I can feel my emotions, I can feel my thoughts, and I can feel my physical sensations, but the feeling capacity is coming from the heart. And in this work, what I've discovered for myself through my own experience is that the causal point of my discomfort isn't the physical world, although it appears physically uncomfortable. It's not the nature of my thoughts, although my thoughts will definitely reflect my discomfort to me. But the causal point of my discomfort is my emotional content, which is pretty much imprinted into my being by the time I'm 7. And those emotional imprinted conditions are things that I can feel. I can feel them. I can turn them into concepts. I can call them fear, anger, and grief. I can then see them reflected as physical circumstances or as symptoms in my body. But the physical circumstances appearing to happen to me, the symptoms in my body that I may feel, those are effects. And even my thinking are effects. The causal point is the energetic circumstance that was imprinted to me as a child in the first 7 years of my life. And unless I impact those energetic circumstances with my awareness, and I impact them by allowing myself to feel them, not sedating and controlling them from my awareness, I not only allow myself to feel them, but I feel them in a way that I take all the conditions off them. I stop sedating and controlling them so they rise up in my awareness. I allow them to move to a point of resolution. When those energetic circumstances move to a point of resolution, my thoughts will automatically transform, and my physical circumstances in the world are no longer something that I react to because I'm seeing the reflections in the mirror of the world, but now I'm able to respond to them. And the moment I'm able to respond to my experience, I enter a different level of experience.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. So what are some of the processes that you talk about in your book for the reader when they decide that they're willing to be uncomfortable? Because I agree that change comes with some kind of level of discomfort. It's always there somehow. And so it really is a willingness for someone to be uncomfortable for a certain amount of time and a certain level. And then having the capacity to comprehend the emotions. How do you take people through a process in the book that supports them in comprehending their emotions and take responsibility for their emotions and their discomfort and their thoughts?
Well, that's really the realm of the book, The Presence Process, not Alchemy of the Heart. Alchemy of the Heart is just communicating the role of the emotional body or the emotional content as far as the quality of our human experience is concerned. Because, we're in a world where if we're uncomfortable, we first try and do something physical about it. So let's take a symptom like, let's take something like cancer. If a person has cancer, most people believe that if they can annihilate the physical presence of the cancer from their physical body, that they are cured. Some people may go to a different level, and they may believe that if they change the way they think, then they can change. This has been the field of thought at the moment, that, you know, it comes out of being completely mental. I think, therefore I am, or thought creates, which is, you know, one has to be mental to say that thought creates, because a thought can't create anything. It can take what's already created, the vibrational, and manufacture it into different forms, but it can't make something that isn't already created, because a thought isn't God. God's not a thought. So when we're approaching our difficulty, the first thing we normally do, it's natural, we try and do it physically. And if we can annihilate all physical evidence of our discomfort, then we actually believe we've accomplished something. Or we can go deeper than that. We can go and talk about it and talk and talk and talk and believe that if I can understand what's happening to me, I can heal myself. In my own journey and with the people I've worked with, I found that the thinking and the physical aspect of our experience is always an effect. And it's effect of a causal point, and the causal point is energetic. And the energetic causal point we can only get to directly by feeling it, not by thinking about it, and not by doing anything, but actually being with it and feeling it. So the realm of our human experience, in our human experience, we simultaneously have three levels of things going on. We have the physical experience, we have the mental experience, and we have the emotional. And the work of the presence process, what the presence process does is it gives us a procedure that enables us to open a pathway of conscious awareness from the physical through the mental and into the emotional. The moment we enter the emotional, we can start becoming aware of the authentic condition of our emotional body. And as that rises up into our awareness, it's going to have certain consequences. And then the book then shows us what those consequences look like and how to respond to them. So that's basically what the presence process does, is it enables us to become aware of the authentic condition of our emotional body and then gives us the awareness to be able to work with it. For example, most people are completely unaware that whenever they get upset, they're entering a memory. For most people, when they get upset, they believe that the upset has something to do with what's happening in that moment, and it's usually caused by something physical or something someone says or something that happens, and we believe that is the causal point of our upset. But actually, every time we get upset, we're entering a memory. What's happening is an emotional signature surfacing into our awareness. And if our attention is very much in the physical world, we see it as physical. If it's in the mental world, we see it as our thoughts. But only when we think below our thoughts do we see it as the emotional pattern which we can feel. The only reason we get upset is because we don't feel so good.
Have you practiced the Vipassana, the meditation style of Vipassana?
No, I haven't.
I was curious because it's the presence process and alchemy of the heart talks about you know, talks about feeling our feelings, feeling our emotions, and the Vipassana, the meditation, the technique allows for us to feel all the senses in our body and on our body, and to just observe them and not react to them. And
right.
When we continue to only observe and put no judgment or reaction on them, then they dissolve. So I was curious to know if you had practiced that.
No. In about 1995, around there, I realized that my experience as it was unfolding was my truth. And that all I had to do was to be able to embrace my truth and really comprehend it, and that the truth would set me free. And so what happened was I turned away from books and from practices and from what the people were saying, and I turned directly into my experience, and I said, okay, what's going on with me right now? Can I comprehend this? Can I be this? Can I respond to it? And by entering my experience in that way, my experience started to teach me, and it became my teacher. So the work that I shared through the two books is coming directly out of the insight of my own experience. And my insight is that we're all having the same kind of experience. We just have different vocabularies. So, for example, a teacher like Jesus said, would say, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And that's also the teaching of go into your emotional state and be with it, and you will receive the comfort of what is offered to you by integrating those emotional states. Because the emotional states are really crucial. You see, if we don't unblock our emotional states, if we avoid them, we avoid the guardians, we avoid the very doorway, what I call the doorway into the kingdom. We're either living in the boredom or we're living in the kingdom. And the doorway into the boredom is fear, anger, and grief. And those, unless we go directly into those states and embrace them, we don't move into vibrational awareness. If we run away from them, what we're going to do is we're going to go towards the mental and the physical to try and save us. And actually, what saves us really is awakening to our vibrational essence. And the vibrational can't be acknowledged, can't be perceived by us through thought or by the physical world. It's perceived by the heart, by feeling. The vibrational has to be felt. So going into our emotional state not only enables us to have a more profound human experience, but awakens our vibrational capacity and awareness of our authentic self and what God has done. And all these things awaken through the emotional body. And this is what's so important about...
It's difficult to hear you. I don't know if the microphone is at a certain degree to your mouth, but it's sounding a little fuzzy.
Right. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's better.
Can you
fair.
Hear me now? Yeah.
Yes, it's better.
Okay.
Okay, so, thank you.
So what I'm saying is that the emotional states that we're going through are not just about improving the quality of our human experience. They're integral for our evolution as beings. And so that's what we find out. It's our discomfort causes us to go inward and look at what's going on. And when we do, they're waking us to, you know, the potentials on all different sorts of levels.
All right. So the thought is that when people think about turning directly into their own spirit and not reading books and not working with a life coach or a therapist or a mentor or anything, the thought of doing that is quite scary. So what do you say to people who are resistant to that?
Well, you can't just jump into that. In fact, you first of all have to allow yourself to enter your own experience. And you see, the reason why we can't do that is because we don't trust what's happening to us. And so we go to somebody else to tell us that it's okay, or somebody else to show us what to do, or somebody else to make choices for us. And we're going to do that as long as we don't trust what our experience is showing us. So if I don't trust my own feelings, I am going to run to others. I'm going to keep looking elsewhere. But once I sink into my feeling body, when I start to trust that my feelings are required, and I start to allow myself to feel them, and I see the consequences of that, it's only when I see the consequences of that that I gradually start to trust my experience more and more. So for me, it wasn't just a sudden case of jumping in there. I first had to start realizing that my feelings that were coming up, my discomfort, my upsetting feelings, they were something calling me. They were my teachings coming to me. But I first had to allow myself to sink in and be with my fear and be with my anger and be with my grief and see what the consequences of those were. And so, for example, when I'm able to be with my fear, I become more discerning. If I'm able to be with my anger, I become more assertive. There's all sorts of benefits of sinking into one's own feeling body and allowing oneself to be there without interfering with what's going on. But until one sees those benefits, so there's no quick jump in. And that's why I developed the procedure. There's no quick way to jump in. That's why I developed the procedure. You know, the presence process is a 10-week procedure which trains people how to facilitate themselves. So there is a transition point in which we start to learn to trust our own experience and to be able to identify what it's saying to us. And once we take hold of that, then we become self-empowered. But there's no quick jumping. So there are going to be life coaches, there are going to be facilitators, there are people that are going to enable us to cross that bridge from complete dependence on the outer to complete reliance on the inner. There is that transition point. No one's asking anyone to just jump in there.
Right. So one step at a time, of course. And
absolutely.
Yeah. So how is this process different from intuition? Because what I'm getting is that you're encouraging people, you know, to be quiet and to listen and to feel. And is it different from intuition, or is it the same?
Well, to me, it depends on what what you use the word intuition as, because as I was saying, we all have different words and we have different vocabularies. To me, intuition means being in tuition, which means being in a state of learning and not saying, I know, I know, I know. And so being able to enter the unknown is really what intuition means to me. The presence process, what it does is it enables us to move consciously along a pathway of awareness. First of all, to re-enter our physical body, because most of us live in our thoughts. We assume we live in our physical body, but we don't. We live in our thoughts. Most of us live in a story, not actually in an actual physical mental emotional experience, but mainly in a mental experience. And a lot of our pain and discomfort is really the physical body trying to bring us back into the body, right? Mm-hmm. So the first step is to get into the body. The moment I get and hold myself in the body, I'm going to start realizing why it is I don't want to be in the body. And I don't want to be in the body because of the discomfort in me. And that discomfort is coming from the emotional. And so what has happened, and I'm going to now become aware of my true emotional state. And so we have ways of bringing that into our awareness. And as I become aware of my true emotional state, how does that manifest in my life? How does my fear, anger, and grief manifest in my life? So, for example, most of us can't see the extent of our fear, anger, and grief because we are masters of sedating that out of our awareness. For example, you can show someone, wherever I'm indecisive, wherever I can't make choices for myself, that's an outer manifestation of my unresolved internal fear. Wherever I'm unable to, wherever there's no movement in my life, where things are stuck and they're not moving, That's an outer manifestation of my inner unintegrated anger. Wherever I'm completely avoiding something, I want to have anything to do with it, that's an outward manifestation of my inner grief that's unresolved. And to make an impact on those outer circumstances requires that I go into those emotional states, I allow myself to feel them gradually, they will begin to move on and come to a point of resolution inwardly, and as they do, those outer conditions will begin to shift. So we want to show ourselves that we don't go and fiddle with the world, we actually try and make the shift internally, we go to the causal point, which is the feeling of those states, we allow that to move, and then the world around us begins to shift. And that's what alchemy is. Alchemy is, I do unto myself as I would have others do, or I make the movement internally that I want to see take place outside.
So repeat that again, alchemy.
Alchemy is, I do unto myself as I would have others do, or I make the movement internally to that I would like to see shifting outside of myself. So, for example, let me give you an example. If someone repeatedly makes me angry, there's three choices that I have. I can physically go and push that person out of my experience and get rid of them in my experience. And all I'll find is I'll manifest them as somebody else. That's called deja vu, right? When the person, you push the angry person away and they pop up to somebody else, but it still makes me angry, right? Or I can make a mental adjustment. I can go to that person and say, we need to have a talk, right? And the moment I say that, what I'm really saying is I'm coming here to convince you that I'm right and you're wrong and get you to behave the way I want you to behave, and then I'll do it.
The phone's still kind of fuzzy, and we do have a caller online for you. He's waiting.
Okay.
But the Skype line is a little fuzzy. Something changed, and it got so fuzzy there after the initial. When you decided to have him change up something, it got so bad after that. Just thought I'd let you know. You might want to change up a little bit more. But you do have a caller.
Yeah, I'm still having trouble. Is there something that you might change with your Skype, Michael?
There's nothing. I haven't touched anything. I'm actually just the microphone in front of my mouth, and what I can do is phone back and see if I can get a different connection.
Okay.
Because that could sometimes help. Do you want me to phone back quickly and get a different connection?
Well, let's try. Why don't you phone back and we'll let the caller chat it on.
Okay.
Right,
I'll phone you right back.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, it's Janet Cleary. Hello, caller.
Well, hi. I'm so glad that Michael Brown is on PBS again.
Yay. What's your name?
I'm Don. I'm in Washington State.
The
reason I called is, for one, to say it disturbed me that what he's saying is not coming through easily and clearly. And the second point that I would make is that I'm a person who's more than halfway through the process. And I learned about this on BBS, which caused me to become a subscriber, because this has turned out to be I'm 71. And it's just bringing me to a true integration of myself, which I have struggled with all my life.
Okay.
So I just wanted to affirm that if anybody has an inkling that they have the discipline and the will and the desire to make a significant change in their emotional, if they've still got emotional baggage, this is the way to bring it in a way that it is so lovely.
It's harmonious, isn't it?
I found it that way. That's all I wanted to say.
Yeah. Well, that is so beautiful. It's so beautiful, and I'm glad that you are you're in the process, and that you are creating some fantastic results and experiences for yourself. And it is. There's definitely some true beauty when we really go within and we look at ourselves and we listen and we feel. And we really get to a point where we trust ourselves. I think a lot of people have trouble trusting themselves, and so they go to the outset.
You know, the more famous person along this line is I think as Eckhart Tolle, but which
mm-hmm.
who has become very famous over the television. But
sure.
This is the nuts and bolts of a really. How to make that, how to make that really go for us as individuals.
The nuts and bolts.
What?
I said the nuts and bolts. That's a great analogy.
Yeah, well, I'm just one of them are really practical guys. Well, thank you so much for taking my call, and I'm hoping that they hear the rest of the program in wonderful clear fidelity, and hope anybody that's listening really consider getting Michael's book, The Presence Process, because it's sure working for me.
That's so wonderful. Thank you for calling in.
Bye.
Bye. Michael, do
Thank
we
you.
Have you?
I can hear you.
You're sounding a little better. I'm hoping the listeners are hearing you better too. And that was one of the
questions. Is that any better?
So he was saying that your book, the Presence Process, is the nuts and bolts for any individual. To work through this process and create a life of of inner peace.
Well, you know, can you hear me, Janet?
Yes.
You know, the thing about peace is that can explain this work. You know, when are we at peace? Are we at peace because we do peace, or do we think peace, or do we feel peace? Right. Peace is a feeling, and what peace is of the vibrational. And unless we're able to feel peace, then we start thinking about it and we start doing things to try and make it happen. We try and make peace, but we can't make peace. Peace is already in the world. There's nothing but peace in this world. We either have the capacity to feel it or we don't. And if our emotional content is riddled with imprinted fear, anger, and grief, that blocks our capacity to feel the peace that's already given. And when we go in and integrate these emotional states, we awaken our capacity to feel the states we want to feel love, we want to feel peace, we want to feel these states, but it's really up to us to develop the capacity to feel them. And so one of the side effects of the work is, yes, it enables us to improve the quality of our human experience and take responsibility for that, but it also awakens the capacity for us to engage with the vibrational, which is what we're really after, because peace is a vibration, love is a vibration, these things are vibrations. And so our difficulties and our discomforts are really a calling card from the vibrational saying, if you come here, if you come to this place of discomfort and be with it, you will waken up the capacities to experience the things you're really looking for. But if you run away from these things, you simultaneously run away from those experiences.
I agree with that. So I imagine, well, and I already know, maybe some of the listeners are curious as to how your books came about? What brought you to a place of this personal experience for yourself?
Well, what it was extreme pain. So I was going along enjoying my life. I was a music journalist, and I received a delivery of pain called Wharton syndrome, which was a neurological like a neurological symptom, an immense amount of pain on the one side of my face, and I would have up to 8 of these attacks a day. And I did what anyone else would do, is I tried to physically stop it. But it was incurable physically, and I took all the medications and had cortisone injections, and you name it, I did it.
You name it, you got it.
Yeah, I did it. I did everything. I went to witch doctors. I did the works. And nothing helped. And then I became quite mental about it, which I call the metaphysical, the mental world. I tried to understand it and figure it out, and that brought me to a place of realizing that beneath my pain was immense amounts of rage. And so then I started to go into the rage, and beneath the rage was grief. And the rage and the grief started to show me something about myself that I didn't even know was going on. And as I allowed those things to surface, and show me their fruits, the pain, which was supposed to be incurable, I was supposed to have it all my life, dissipated, and now it's completely gone. And I transformed my entire human experience, and I realized that the fear, anger, and grief were my greatest teachers. They were calling me through the pain to awaken to a fuller level of responsibility.
They are, and when you were through that process of acknowledging your fear and your pain and your anger, rage, did you have people around you that supported that, or did they want you to push it down and ignore it?
Well, everyone wants you to get better, and often people just want us to recover. And what recovery is, you know, I'm going to cover over that causal point again. If I can just cover it over so that I'm not aware of it, that's recovery. And what I was more interested in was discovery. I wanted to go to the actual absolute heart of the wound. And I also realized that my condition was just one condition reflecting the circumstance of our human state. Because most of our discomfort, what I saw was that all of our discomfort is about the fact that we are running away from this moment. We're running away from just being in the world and with it. And it's our discomfort causing us to run away from that. And so my intention was to get to the bottom of my situation in a way that I could share it with others so that others would be self-empowered to accomplish that. And that's why this work is about self-empowerment. You don't need me. Once you enter the work, it will teach you how to do the work with yourself. And to empower you to gain those skills yourself, because I've seen that we all have the capacity to take responsibility for our heart. There's not one human being that doesn't have the capacity. It's just that some are willing to go in that direction and others prefer to try and do something physical or mental. So if we're a person who wants to go to the heart of the matter, you know, this work can guide us into that.
Well,
there's nothing easy about it either. You know, it's not about easy or good, and that's, we have to get rid of those words.
Say that again?
It's not about easy or good. We have to get rid of those two words, easy and good. There's no use in this word.
Easy and good, okay.
Yeah.
It's all good. You're funny with the vocabulary. I'm the same way with certain words. Get rid of able. That implies we're not able to get rid of it. Well, I was so intrigued with your studies and your personal experience in the books, because I was diagnosed with all sorts of syndromes, and I had depression for many years and whatnot. And I, you know, for a long time I was being a victim of it. But I knew it, you know, I knew that that there was a way out. I knew that it wasn't right. I knew my body was speaking to me, and, you know, doctors were giving me medications and stuff. And then one day I went to the pharmacy to fill a bottle of medication, and I turned around, and as I was walking out, there was a trash can, and I threw the bottle of pills in the trash can, and I said, no. I said, you don't own me. I own my body. My body is telling me something, and what it was telling me was that I was squelching my spirit. That was the general message, is that I was squelching my spirit. And that's when I started really listening and, you know, that self-perception through my heart. And it was a process that was uncomfortable but elating at the same time. And I ended up making some choices. One, to, you know, move to California from Boston. And it was difficult for me because I'm very close to my family and friends. And so I just want the audience to know that, if I hadn't listened, if I kept taking the drugs and knowing intuitively I was going against what my spirit was saying to me, you know, I would probably be in some major, major trouble right now. And so I did make a lot of significant change in my life. And I haven't had a bout of depression. I've had no health problems for 8 years, and I have not had to go see a doctor for anything specific, and I have not taken a medication in 8 years, and it's all, you know, it's all from this. It's all from going within and feeling and looking at myself and listening and trusting myself. It's been a really long journey for me, I think, in trusting myself, but I, you know, I've been the happiest that I know. You know, that I've been in for many years in my life.
Well, that's the turning point right there, is the validation of our experience. Because when we're sedating and suppressing it, when we're in a state of saying, this should not be happening to me, we're stuck because the experience is trying to speak to us. And whether we use the presence process, or whether we use whatever techniques you use with people, all of these techniques are about teaching someone how to understand the communication of their own experience and then to begin interacting consciously with that communication. The moment we accomplish that, we're not home free, but the journey really begins. Because once I listen to my body, once I can observe what my thoughts are telling me, once I can let them lead me to the heart of the matter, and I'm open to that and I respond to that, it doesn't make things easy, but it brings ease into my life. And my life ceases to be something that's not supposed to be happening. It now becomes my teacher.
And you say in the alchemy of the heart, and I think that this is an important point, you know, that we're imprinted by the emotional condition of those who are responsible for us. We're conditioned in a certain way, and that it overlays the essence of who we are, and that's pretty much all that we know. And what I want to say is that for the healing process, for me, for getting to this wonderful self-perception through my heart, is part of that for me is forgiveness. And I wonder if you speak about that in Alchemy of the Heart, Michael.
Yes, absolutely. And we speak about that a lot in the presence process too. And what I say is there is only self-forgiveness. Because once I see that I, my behavior, my states are determined by this emotional imprinting, and when I realize this emotional imprinting has been passed from generation to generation to generation, and that my parents were also children once, and they were also imprinted, and they don't have the tools that I have now today, you know, when I can go and interact with my own imprinting and integrate it and rise above it, then I can forgive myself for the behaviors of the past that have come out of my imprinting, and everyone's in the same boat. So the moment I'm able to forgive myself, I'm able to forgive the world. I realize that every human being is really, and until I take responsibility for my imprinting, it runs me like software downloaded into a computer. And until I take responsibility for that, for me, the presence process is an antivirus program for imprinting. So it's like
that would be wonderful.
So I run this antivirus program, and it enables me to impact the imprinting, and then to download the software that I choose to download, not to just run on the software that's been passed for hundreds of generations. And to me, that's what's awesome about being alive now, is that we have the awareness and the capacity to really say the buck stops here, right? And the forgiveness is part of that. Once I forgive myself, I literally forgive the world.
Sure. And I say this at the beginning of every show, that, you know, the name of my coaching practice is Sight for Sound. It's when I see things as they truly are, I make sound choices. So when I go within, you know, that inner voice is a segue to a healthy choice.
Yes, absolutely. While I'm reacting to my life, it's because I'm not really seeing things as they are. I'm seeing what's overlaid over them, the memories, the imprints. But once I'm able to respond to my life, once I'm able to go into a state of response, all my choices then lead me into growth, into something new. They don't lead me into that place where I say, why does this keep happening to me? Why does this keep happening to me? When we're saying, why does this keep happening to me, what we're saying is, I can see my imprints. I'm back. I'm really being run by my imprints.
And what do you say to people when they say, well, what's the point of doing this? Like, what is the point of experimenting emotional and integration? What's the point? I mean, it's going to take me 40 years, so what's the point? So what is your response?
Well, first of all, it doesn't take 40 years. I mean, it really doesn't take. It's not about how long it takes. How long it takes is a mental body question. But while my feeling body is shut down, and while I'm sedating and controlling my own feeling body, and trying to manipulate it to make it give me feelings I would rather be having than the one I'm having now, I'm really a victim of the world, because anyone who promises me a feeling, I will go to that. So I listen to politicians, I listen to the priesthood, I listen to the advertisers, because they're all promising me certain feelings, whether I'm aware of it or not. You know, whenever I buy a product, I'm really after the feeling. And they're all promising me states. So for me, what I say is, liberation is emotional. If you really want to liberate yourself and you want to have a free life experience, you have to take care of your own emotional body. Because if you don't take care of your own emotional states, someone else will take care of it for you. And so what's really being offered is liberation, right? It's liberation.
Yeah.
Because when I'm able to provide those own feelings, when I'm open to the vibrational and I can feel the peace and I can feel the love and I can feel those states that are already given to me, then I don't fall for people who promise them to me for a nice sum of money, or someone who promises them to me, you know, if I just obey them, or people who tell me they can do that for me. No one can do that for us. I'm responsible for my feeling capacity. I'm responsible for my feeling body. And when I take responsibility for that, then I become a free agent in this world, and my choices are made out of the moment, not out of what I'm trying to get from somebody else, or what I think someone else can do for me. And that's an immense amount of liberation that takes. Then I enter a very different life experience.
Yeah.
And that's
right,
what
on,
the fear,
yeah,
anger, and grief. The fear, anger, and grief are really what I call the guardians at the doorway of the kingdom. If I do not have the capacity to go through my fear, anger, and grief, I do not have the capacity to enter the kingdom. If I cannot contain, my own anger in my full awareness and be with that, what makes me think I can contain an awareness of what God is, right?
Well, that's great. Well, we have just a minute left, Michael. And first, I want to thank you for being here and taking the time and sharing your gift with the world. And how can people find out more about you? Is it thepresenceportal.com? Is that the best way?
I would say to people, go to thepresenceportal.com, look at that website. Go to the audio page and do the free one-on-one there, and it will give you a taste of this work. It'll give you a tool that will really help you. So go to the audio page, do the free one-on-one on thepresenceportal.com, and get a taste of this work for yourself.
Oh, that's wonderful. And we can find out more about your book and buy your book at namastepublishing.com/brown.asp.
Yes. You can get it off Namaste, you can get it from Amazon.com, you know, you can get it in Barnes & Noble. It's available in many different places.
Great. Well, thank you so much. And, folks, thank you for listening. It's Janet Collieri and Michael Brown. This is the Sight for Sound Life Coaching Show with Janet Collieri. And we'll see you in a couple of weeks. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you. Bye.